They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took with him Peter, James, and John, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here with me and keep watch." He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. He cried out, "Abba, Father, everything is possible with you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me for even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. And when he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they could not keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them a third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest." "Oh, but no. The time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up. Let's be going. Look, the betrayer is here." And immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men who had swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard." As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. "Rabbi," he exclaimed. And then he gave him the kiss. And then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. In the 2,000 years of Christianity, there are only two recorded occasions where the church was officially closed around the world. The first was during the Spanish flu, which occurred between 1918 and ended in 1920. And now, through this past year, COVID-19 marks the second time this has happened. Wars and persecutions did not close the church in the past, and many gave their lives for what they believed in. It is interesting to note that swords did not stop worship, but the Spanish flu and COVID-19, both invisible enemies, did. For the last year, we have been made aware almost daily of the suffering in the world caused by COVID-19 and all the ways in which the virus exposes the inequities and dysfunction of our society and world. In the midst of all of this, and in our anxiety and our fear and our loneliness and our isolation, we gather now to remember the events of this day that occurred over 2,000 years ago. We pause in the midst of our own struggles and pain and helplessness to remember the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. His crucifixion, a bloody, horrific death, often called execution by torture because the way that crucifixion caused death by asphyxiation, often a process that could take days, was reserved by Romans for the most notorious of criminals or revolutionaries or rebellious slaves. It was public. It was meant as a warning to passerbys of the fate that awaited them if they challenged Rome's rule. It's a death that's alien to us, even if we are familiar with its images. The sort of suffering it causes is known to us only through artistic imagery in Hollywood movies. In spite of that, the crucifixion has often been interpreted as connecting Christ's suffering with our own or with the suffering of humanity. One of the most powerful and most famous artistic representations of the crucifixion is that of the 16th century painter Matthias Grunewald, whose Eisenheim altarpiece depicts Christ's suffering in a very visual detail, his body riddled with sores and bleeding. Painted for a hospital of victims of the plague, the sores on Christ's body looked very much like the sores a plague victim might have, and so the patients could find solace and comfort from the suffering of Christ that shared with them. Today, this Good Friday, perhaps that's the only message that we need to hear. Perhaps that is the message of the cross, of Jesus' suffering and death. That in the cross, we see Christ's suffering, but that he is not suffering for himself alone, but for us. In the cross, we see Christ suffering with us. Whatever our pain, whether it's the loss of jobs or worry about the immediate or distant future, whether it's our own illness or the illness or suffering of a friend or loved one whom we can't support or accompany right now, or maybe it's the death of a loved one or the friend's grief at the death of their loved one, whatever it may be, whatever suffering we might be experiencing right now, Jesus is here with us, suffering right alongside of us, taking our pain as his own. The pain of quarantine and isolation, and the fear of this invisible enemy, the stuff of this world. So many of us have become uncertain and fearful and anxious and are panicking. We have a tunnel vision that only allows us to look right in front of us, what is right here and right now. And all of the promises that we maybe heard at Christmas morning or the expectation of the empty tomb are all forgotten because we can only see this moment right here. Just like so many who were at the cross that Friday. Many of us are standing in front of our own crosses right now. We can't see very clearly, and we're worried about the what ifs, and we can only see our shortcomings rather than any other possibilities. Jesus's friends could only see him dying right there in front of them. They couldn't recall his last words from the Last Supper that they had just had. They couldn't see a day where this would not be their reality. A day where they would not feel that anguish and despair. It was all consuming. It was all they could feel. Because they were right there in that moment. But what they didn't remember was that it was just Friday. Friends, we are all in dark and difficult places right now. We have had many Fridays this last year. But here's the thing. It's only Friday. We know, friends, we know what happens Sunday. And there is nothing that you or I could do. There is nothing that the world can do that's going to change that. No pandemic or amount of isolation or trouble of this world can take away the fact that Jesus went to the cross, died a horrible death to save you, and that Jesus is with you and Jesus is with me right here, right now, in the very midst of all of our Fridays. In the cross, He takes our suffering. He has taken on the world's suffering. His great love will carry us through. Even in the death and the darkness of Good Friday, and in the silence of the tomb that marks the waiting of Easter, Jesus' love bears our pain and heals our suffering soul. His love is everything we need on Friday and always. Thank you, students, for that amazing reminder that God's love through Jesus is everything. There are so many things in this world that can keep us from fully accepting Christ's great gift of love that He gave us on the cross that Friday and continues to offer to us every single day. Friends, what stuff do you need to clear out of the way for you to see the open arms of Jesus? What is holding you in the grip of fear and anxiety and keeping you from embracing the love that is freely given to you today and every day? Is it greed or debt? Is it addiction? Maybe it's wrong relationships or a misbelief about who you are. Maybe you think you aren't good enough or worthy enough, or you've messed up too many times. You're too far down the road to turn back now. There's no way God even knows you anymore. I mean, we can hardly recognize ourselves sometimes. Friends, the cross tells the story. But you yourself have to make a decision to believe it. I'm going to ask you at home to do something really hard. I want you to think, to really think about how much Jesus loves you. So much so that He hung on a cross. So much so that He died a horrific death. Also, He never had to live without you again. And I want you to grab a piece of paper and a writing utensil that you have at home. And I want you to really think about that love. And then I want you to write down that thing that is keeping you from fully letting go of your fear and anxieties that you have and embracing that love that Jesus has freely given to you. What is it that is holding you back from being able to accept the full grace of the cross? Maybe you don't have anything. Maybe you are fully in and fully walking daily with Christ and you're not fearful at all. But my guess is that this last year has tested the faith for many of you. That more of us here today are struggling with fear, anxiety about the unknown future, loneliness and isolation. We're struggling with wondering where God is more than we even care to admit to ourselves.
But the cross is here today.
As it has been for more than 2,000 years, it has stood the test of time through wars and famine, through plagues and pandemics, and it will continue to stand, my friends. So will you place your hope and trust in God's everlasting love? Will you cast aside the troubles of this world and accept Christ's offer of redemption and hope, no matter what may come? Take all the time that you need to think about what's standing in your way. And then I want you to take that piece of paper, and I want you to give it to God. I want you to hand it over to the God of the cross as we ask for Jesus' love to break through our isolation, our fear, our pain, and fill our hearts and transform our lives. Go in peace, knowing it's only Friday, but it will soon be Sunday. Amen.